This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
She's in my head. Lil Lump bringing us back, 11:24 in St. Louis. Charlie Marlowe, Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, Darren Atkins, a.k.a. the Peoria Plowboy, filling in for Frank Cusimano on the Hollywood Casino Press Box as Frank makes his way back from a beautiful beach vacation in Cancun as he's going to be refreshed and ready for the baseball season and the playoff push for the Blues and the Sweet 16 and all that. And Martin Kilcoyne in Milwaukee with the Cardinals workout today, getting ready for opening day tomorrow at Miller Park for one more season until they change the name of that ballpark. But you got Miles Michaelis and Julius Chassin, a couple of righties, kicking off 2019.
That's right. They are going to change the name. Do we know? Is it like some hospital?
American Family something? Is that what's becoming?
Some long-winded. It should just be Miller Park. I mean, come on.
The CAG, man. It's the perfect nickname.
But is it going to change? Like, for me, U of I went from Assembly Hall to State Farm Arena.
Still Assembly Hall.
It's still Assembly Hall. So, yes, for the broadcasting sake and the naming rights when you're at the stadium, it means something. But fans are going to call it, I mean, you know, that's just Miller Park, and that's the name.
Gentlemen, we are rooting for the Blackhawks last night. Even though they couldn't
help out
the old Blues, Arizona beat Chicago 1-0. So the Blues not able to clinch a playoff spot just yet, and they play Friday in New York, 3 days off between games here. But the Blues still third in the Central, 90 points, 6 games to go. So they have a game in hand still on the Predators with 92 points, but the Preds and Winnipeg have both clinched their spot. So safe to say the Blues are going to make the playoffs, but where do you think they end up in the division when it's all said and done?
This is one of the questions in Five for the
Guys.
Oh,
wait. Should I just throw it to Five for the Guys then?
Yes.
I'll tell you what. Let's do that.
Rewind.
We'll weave in our beautiful sponsor, Greenville University. Right now, we got Five for the Guys, including
that
question.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution. Just 45 miles from St. Louis.
So here's the way I phrased it. It is, give me the odds that the Blues are hosting game one of their first round playoff series. 2 points behind Nashville, game in hand, 4 behind Winnipeg, equal amount of games played.
I think there's at least 50-50 shot.
I think there's better than 50-50.
So do I.
Do you?
No, I think there's about a 40%er.
We're not that far off there.
No.
I like the Blues schedule this weekend. If you can sweep this weekend, Jersey and the Rangers, both out of the playoffs, but they're road games. If you sweep this weekend, I like their chances even more, but I'll say 50-50 at this point.
I'll say 60-40.
I'm going to say 55%, but I'm going to say it's going to happen. I think the Blues will end the regular season in second place. They'll be hosting those country buggers from Nash Vegas. We don't have to see all of their, with the fish. They have the big old catfish out there. They have the fun of the country music superstar. Who's going to sing the national anthem? It's always some big-time celebrity. They got the Tennessee Titans football offensive linemen taking their shirts off. They're bonging beers out of catfish and all that, which is kind of fun, I'm not going to lie. But I want to see
beating up that car out front that they picked.
Beating up the car. I just want to see a little less than that because I think home ice advantage is huge for the Blues.
If you get Jordan Binnington playing like he is, absolutely.
Brewers, Braves, Rockies, and Athletics. Those are the teams that crashed the Major League Baseball postseason. A little turnover last season. Give me a team in each league. NL, AL, team that didn't make the playoffs last year that will make the playoffs this year.
Can you read those again? You said Brewers,
Braves, Rockies, and the Athletics.
Rockies and A's. So a team that did not make the playoffs, I'm buying time here, a team that did not make the playoffs last year. Now, I feel like the Phillies, that would be an easy answer. But it's not like a real sleeper, right?
But I mean, still qualifies. You can dig deeper if you want to give me a real sleeper.
Nationals, that's also probably
really
an easy pick.
I don't really have a reason for this one, but I'm throwing out the Angels.
Okay. That's
it's
fair.
It's time they won something, for crying out loud. They've got the best player in baseball. They got to have something go right with their pitching staff for a change.
Now, we can say Cardinals, right?
Sure.
I think that's the easiest and most logical guess or estimate.
Yeah, that's. I was going to say the Rockies aren't a sleeper because they were in last year. So, National League, Phillies are an easy get. Yeah, I don't have really a good one for the National League. I really don't.
And again, if you go by the Vegas odds that we read earlier in the show, according to mybookie.ag, in the National League, if you look at who's the favorites, who are the favorites to win the World Series in the National League, if you just pick the top five and you said, okay, there's your playoff teams, it would be Dodgers, Phillies, Cubs, Brewers, Cardinals. So out of that five, in theory, if that actually happened, you'd have Cardinals and Phillies. You'd have two new teams from the National League that weren't in the postseason last year.
It's very stupid, but can't you see a team like the Twins sneaking in there in the AL simply because the AL East will beat up on each other with the Rays, the Yankees and the Red Sox, and the AL West could beat up on each other with the Angels and the Astros and the Mariners and the Athletics. Can't you just see a team like the Twins playing a lot of their games against really bad teams just kind of rise up a little bit artificially?
Great point. Aren't the Twins one of these teams that are good every other year?
They're projected to be 82-80 per Fangraphs, but when you're playing, let's just say, 50-plus games against the Tigers, the White Sox, and the Royals, that artificially inflates your win total.
That's the place where a surprise comes from, I agree. Because at some point, the Indians are going to drop. But they have such a good starting staff.
Well, they will drop when
the owner
said they hand Lindor over to anybody that wants them.
The owner
right.
told you to expect
so,
that drop.
That's coming, but yeah, you're right. If you're picking somebody out of there, it would be the Twins right now.
And I like the Mets as a dark horse just in general because their pitching is so good. Their offense is really bad. They were I don't know if they're going to be that bad this year than they were last year offensively, but I could see DeGrom having a similar year. I mean, this dude is an absolute stud. You got three legit guys with Wheeler and Syndergaard and DeGrom. With that much pitching, you would assume they're going to be in most games, so you could see them sneaking in there. Hard division, though.
I like that play, and I also like Hoff's Twins play because they are also one of those mid-level organizations that do try.
Yes.
And I know we shouldn't necessarily compliment teams for trying, but so many in baseball don't, that the Twins, even last year, even though they didn't do well, they threw out all of those one-year deals. Remember, for the Lance Lynns, the Logan Morrisons, the Fernando Rodneys, they saw this weird market where some of the middle-type players weren't getting deals, and they went for it. Now, it didn't work, don't get me wrong, but I do give them credit for actually still trying to compete and win. And then you look at the fact that they have an ace in Jose Barrios.
And he's legit.
He is legit.
Oh, yes, he is.
And then look, Byron Buxton was supposed to be one of the best players in baseball last year. He's been the top prospect in all of baseball going back a couple years. If he figures it out.
He had an excellent spring.
He had an awesome spring. And then Miguel Sano's coming off injury. It'll be a while for him, but he could also become that 40-homer guy.
Don't
so
they have,
that's a good play.
Do they have... Who's the second baseman from Milwaukee last year? They have Schoep and or do they have
Jonathan
him?
Schoep.
Jonathan Schoep.
Schoep.
We'll check on that.
So yeah. I mean, you have got that guy can get you 30 bombs. He's he was a vital part for the Brewers.
They do have Jonathan Schoep.
The reason I know this is because he's my starting second baseman for your dumpster fire team.
Dumpster fire. Looking for a big renaissance season here in 2019.
Exactly.
This question in five for the guys is mainly for Plowsy, but you all can chime in. Jordy Nelson retiring. Plowsy, talk about it.
I think, to me, the best duo I've seen, because I've watched Packer games more than I watch other random NFL games, Aaron Rodgers to Jordy Nelson was as automatic as you could get in that 5 to 6 year window that they had that they were dominant. One of my favorite Packers of all time, him and his wife were great to the city of Green Bay, very charitable, could not say any nicer things about my man, Jordy Nelson, and a great fantasy asset as well. Not drafted very high year in and year out. Automatic 1,000 yards, 10-plus touchdowns. Love him.
Jordy Nelson, a great Packer.
Packer
not
Hall
a Hall of
for
Famer.
Packer Hall of Famer for
Packer
sure, but definitely
Hall
not
Famer.
An NFL Hall of Famer now.
Beloved.
I liked him coming out of K-State.
Oh.
Because he was so undervalued at what he... And we found out when he got to the next level how valuable he was. Great Packer career, there's no doubt.
Probably wouldn't have had half the career without Aaron Rodgers. Not disrespecting his talent, but...
That's true.
You know,
that
you
helps.
Throw dimes like that over the shoulder, you're going to be getting some touchdowns, some yards. So they complemented each other perfectly. One of the best duos.
That is a great question, though, of what would... And not just Jordy Nelson. If you were to taken a Randall Cobb...
We saw James Jones, his career diminished. I mean, you have a ton of guys that careers weren't... And you can't judge Jordy Nelson at Oakland because he was a shell of himself even... His last year in Green Bay. So that wasn't his prime years there. So you can't judge that. But I mean, you see the dimes. I mean, you can't get more perfect the throws than what Aaron Rodgers gives you. With that speed, you know, it's pretty easy to get, you know, the stats he has.
Aaron Rodgers does throw, in my opinion, the most beautiful ball.
Yes.
In
when
all
he's right.
of the NFL.
Just beautiful to watch. Yep. It's fantastic. He may not be the GOAT, the best of all time, but in this era, he throws a pretty, pretty ball.
You're a Saints fan. Thoughts on pass interference now being a reviewable play?
Just a little late. I'm glad they're doing that,
it's
though.
It's a good idea.
I'm glad they're doing that, though, because pass interference, those calls, as we saw last year, can swing a game or potentially a Super Bowl matchup as much or more than any other of those reviewable calls. So I'm almost for reviewing everything, and I know that could open up a whole can of worms, but you can't have that call decide who makes it to the Super Bowl. That was such a bad look for the NFL last year. And then you had 2 weeks. That's all anybody talked about, especially if you're from New Orleans, and they had a parade and all that. We're not going to watch the game. And then Roger Goodell was like scared to make a statement. He was being called out by Saints players. He finally talked about it at the State of the NFL address before the Super Bowl. But at that point, about 10 days had gone by, and it seemed like the NFL was hiding from kind of making their official statement. It was just a really bad look when you want those 2 weeks leading up to Super Bowl to be all positive.
But for the Saints, you need something like this to happen, as terrible it is for Saints fans and that organization, in order for a rule as stupid as that to change. Like the Packers, trust me, we went through the replacement refs and saw one of the worst calls in history.
Oh, that's Seattle
as
game.
Mad as I am about that Seattle Hail Mary, where one guy called it a touchdown and the other ref called it incomplete, that was able, that propelled them to bring the regular referee back, and then you had a normal NFL season. So you need heartbreak to happen like this to make dumb rule changes. This is a smart decision on the NFL's part, and they can't take away anything that the Saints are, you know, against the Saints game. So deal with it. I love the rule change.
That's a great point, though. It usually takes something horrible to happen for a rule finally to be changed. And go back to baseball when you had the All-Star game tied.
No.
The call you mentioned, that was just ridiculous. Something horrible, and then we're talking about the sports world, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But something really bad has to happen usually. That's such a black eye to the sport. That's what finally gets the decision makers to make a change.
I like that you have a chance to fix, which was a terrible error. Here's the other side of this, though. We're going to be watching slow motion replays for pass interference.
Yes.
What is pass interference? Well, his arm kind of touched, or he kind of had him hooked. Well, maybe he didn't. Maybe it's inadvertent. What is it? What is it going to be? I can tell you already, there's that argument, because it's such an inconsistent call anyway.
If it's 3rd and 20, I'm just throwing the ball deep and then just seeing.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe we can get a replay and get a first down that way.
Especially, and again, it doesn't always get back to gambling, but people were discussing this in terms of the first half. And why wouldn't you, at the end of the first half, do that every time?
Yes.
Just throw a Hail Mary at the end and just see what happens, and you can review it.
I will tell you, the one call that's going to get overturned a lot with pass interference is one they let go, and that is the short 5-10 yard over the middle where the defender comes over the top. And almost every time the guy makes contact with the receiver's back before the ball gets there, but he reaches over, he gets the ball, but he hits the receiver before the ball ever gets there. You're going to see that thing reviewed 100 times and get overturned 75% of the time.
And a lot of times, these are bang-bang plays.
Exactly.
And it's almost like block charge in basketball. It gets to a point sometimes where you could watch it 50 times on replay, and it's honestly 50-50. So you almost just have to go with the call on the field. And I'm sure that's going to take place as well with football. The issue, though, was with the Saints-Rams call. You didn't even need a replay.
So no, you didn't.
You actually saw it in real time.
I think that's the counter, is you don't need the replay. You just need to call it on the field as the rule is written.
And after the game.
True. That's the solution.
I forgot the gentleman's name, the defensive back.
Roby Coleman or something like that?
But he even said, he goes, I purposely pass interfered because I knew he was going to score a touchdown. He admitted he did that to prevent the touchdown, and the refs still didn't make the call.
Final one, 5 for the guys. This one might take a little bit of research. It might be catching you a bit off guard, but Machado last year, Yu Darvish 2 years ago, Aroldis Chapman in 2016, Yoenis Cespedes in 2015, John Lester in 2014. Give me a big name dealt by July 31st.
Ooh, that's a great question.
2019.
I don't want to say Marcell Ozuna because I think the Cardinals are going to be in it. It's not going to make sense for them to deal Marcell Ozuna. But what if he's having a kind of like last year, and Tyler O'Neill is having a huge season?
That's a good one. I'm going to go with an obvious one. It won't happen. Obvious it is. The GM has already said that this player won't be on the team. So I'm thinking a Francisco Lindor trade, although it would be crazy stupid of Cleveland. But if I could see a big-name guy and a team willing to dish out a big-name guy, and Francisco Lindor is my favorite player in baseball. He's unbelievable. I could see him maybe getting traded. Maybe not this year, but certainly before his contract or before he hits arbitration.
I don't know which one, and I don't think it'll be because they're out of the race, but because they realize they're not going to keep them all. One of those starters from Houston's going to get dealt.
Ooh, a Garrett Cole maybe?
Maybe Garrett Cole. When they, especially, didn't we Mitch just talk about Peacock pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
If he, let's say he grabs one of those spots and Luno says, I can't keep Garrett Cole. I have four guys that I can rely on as starters to get me through the playoffs. I can get something for him now and move him. I could see that maybe being a way to move one of those guys in Houston.
His year last year, Charlie, you had him on your fantasy team. He was a baller. The first
he was
15
unreal.
Starts, 20 starts was unbelievable.
Just striking out
fantastic.
Everyone.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look up here, according to SpotRack, for the free agents next year.
I'm telling you, one name that I expect to be traded, only because you mentioned Ozuna. If he's struggling a little bit, and even if Tyler O'Neill is, and even if O'Neill's playing well, but they really want to supplement that position, a guy like Nick Castellanos could really intrigue the Cardinals, I feel like, come July, if they're not getting the production they want out of their corner outfield, and they feel like that they're still in the playoff race. That's a guy, free agent to be after 2019, has a decent amount of power, especially coming out of a park that does not encourage that. He's someone you need to keep an eye on heading into July.
I'm trying to find guys here that have... Now, a lot of these players
Rendon's
have club
not
options.
Not going to get traded. I mean, you know, guys like that won't be traded,
right.
I'm sure.
And some of these guys who come up as free agents, they actually have player options. So they're not technically free agents. But now, look, Felix Hernandez has been a shell of himself in recent years, but
yeah,
what if he
done,
had?
Unfortunately,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, who else do we have here?
But
Josh Donaldson. Atlanta's going to contend, you would think. So do they want to get rid of him? But he's on a 1-year deal.
Is Puig and Kemp both on
314 saying Madison Bumgarner? He's another possible.
Oh,
where
a great
the
one.
Giants are going to go?
Would love that.
So Matt Kemp and. You got to think, though, the Reds, if they're in it, this would be their year to actually try to add, but maybe their whole project doesn't work out, and you do see them flipping a Kemp or a Puig to a contender. Anthony Rendon, you brought up, Plowsy. It seems like with all these superstars, he's 30 years old, with all these superstars being locked up before they hit free agency.
He's about to get locked up.
Don't you think
sure.
he's going to get an extension here, maybe at the All-Star break?
Yes.
The Nationals, after not going after, or I should say, not signing Bryce Harper. I feel like they can't let Anthony Rendon go.
Well, not only that, I think they way overpaid for a Patrick Corbin, too, in desperation of getting somebody in the free agent market. A good pitcher, but I think what he signed for is astronomical.
Here's a good name, because you know the way this franchise does business. If the A's are not as good this year as last year, they like to move guys and pick up prospects. Chris Davis could be a good add.
And every AL team should be calling for him as well. I mean, he's stud.
How about, Nelson Cruz, it looks like he does have
a club option, but he's
a 1-year deal. There's a lot of good players.
But it doesn't sound like a great free agent class, especially now that most people are getting locked up before the season starts. So maybe you see more trades. Because you know that maybe you're not going to be picking these guys up in the offseason.
Another name to throw out there, just because I'm not sure where the franchise is headed from a direction standpoint or how they see him mixing in. How about Marcus Stroman? Kind of rough year last year. Toronto's now buried in the AL East. Do they try to, maybe if he gets off to a good start, try to think about punting and moving forward without him?
I could see him getting moved. Unfortunately, it sounded like they tried to move him in the offseason and nobody called.
Maybe all it takes is a good 2 months.
But that's a good point.
I love how me and Charlie are throwing out the big names, and Brian is more logical and throwing out actual names that probably will get traded at the deadline. where me and Charlie are just reaching for the stars. Well, I see him continually scrolling through.
Okay, but I'm trying to think
Edwin Jackson could probably get straight to the
end. It's tough. You almost have to look at the free agent market in order to kind of judge how teams are going to look and, you know, right before the deadline.
But also, I'm trying to look at teams that probably aren't going to be good. Because, again, Atlanta, you'd think they're going to be in it. So would they want to flip Josh Donaldson on a one-year deal? That's why.
And he had a pretty good spring, so I think he might actually be productive for him.
That's where the Reds, if that experiment doesn't work, there are a lot of one-year deals. And look, coming off Scooter Gennett being injured, maybe they have a rough start, and all of a sudden they go, okay, this isn't working. We have Alex Wood that we could move. We have Puig that we could move. We have Matt Kemp that we could move. How about Francisco Cervelli? Looking for a good catcher at the All-Star break. Yeah. The Pirates probably won't be in it. Castellanos is a great guy to bring up. Brian Dozier, I feel like the last 3-4 years, he's been traded at the deadline just about every single season. That's another good option. Cole Calhoun for the Angels.
Right. I know the Angels are going to be in the playoffs. They're not trading.
Five for the guys, brought to you by Greenville University.
All right, we'll take a break. Coming back on the other side, more Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Before we switch it over at noon to the coveted hour, the midday grind, where we're talking Blues hockey with Andy Strickland coming up around 12:30. We'll be right back on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.